I enjoyed the singers also. That's what you're applauding, right? I mean, I enjoyed your singing also. My wife and I are delighted to be here. And I hope that we can be a blessing and encouragement to you. I thank God for your pastor. He's God's man, has God's hand on his life. And you are a part of something that's so significant. It's influencing the whole world. And more you'll get that idea as the Lord keeps working in your life. Pray for me that I'll say the things that will please the Lord. And I'll have an opportunity to talk to the church head class in just a moment. But I'm looking forward to all of this. I've been talking and preaching to Bible college students for many, many years. And so this is a challenging moment for me because I want to give you what I believe God will use in your life. If you have the Word of God in hand, I want you to take it, please, and turn with me to the little book of Jude. One chapter. I encourage you to memorize this chapter. It's something you could certainly do. It's about contending for the faith. And we certainly need to be doing that. We're going to begin in just a moment with verse 20. I'm trying to get up enough courage to speak to you while I'm talking, so. It's great how you greet people, but it can be a little shocking to your system for a moment. I have preached here many times through the years in many chapels, and I know a little bit about what to expect when I come here. And I'd be very disappointed if you didn't have this enthusiasm. I'm glad you have it. And it's no small thing after 50 years, you've still got it going. It's a testimony of what God did and is doing, and we give Him the glory for it. All of us all over the world, in every region, every state, every continent, have been affected positively for the Lord and for His glory by people who have sat where you're sitting now, whose lives were changed in this place, who got direction for their lives here, and they left here changed people. And you can give God the glory for that. What's happening is not just what's happening now. You're standing on the shoulders of so many people who've paid such a price. And I hope all of you have a deep appreciation in your heart for that. My wife and I be on this journey together. We've been on this journey for 55 years. Probably in my memory, one of the strongest things I have to think about is how God used this ministry and continues to use it, but has used this ministry in my life. And I wish to express my gratitude to God with the way the Lord has used it. Let me pray with you just a moment. And let's pray together. Our Father, as we come to Thee, we thank Thee, Lord, that we can speak with Thee, the only true and living God. And we pray for the touch of thy Spirit, the moving and working of thy Spirit. We yield ourselves to thee and thank thee, Lord, for the measure of strength we have in this moment that allows us to be in this place. And we give to thee our weakness. And we pray for thy strength to be made perfect in our weakness. Please, Jesus, enable me. And we shall give thee the glory for it now and forever. In Christ Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you have your Bible open to Jude, beginning with verse 20, the Word of God says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some, have compassion, making a difference." If you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, I want you to mark those expressions I just read. Have compassion, making a difference. Making a difference. We all have one life to live, just one life. And we ought to give all of it, always, to the Lord. I want God to use you. I rejoice when God does use you. And the truth of the matter is, the difference you can make with your life depends on the difference you allow Christ to make in your life. The measure of difference you will make is directly related to the measure of difference you allow Him to make. You can try all you want to try, work all you want to work, and you should work hard. We work hard for the Lord because of what the Lord's done for us. Like the Apostle Paul, "God forbid that we should glory save at the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." And so we serve God because of what He's done, not in order to, but because of what He's done for us. And God desires more than you desire. God desires to make a difference with your life. But He cannot make the difference with your life that He wants to make unless you allow Him to make the difference in your life that only He can make. I say this again and again. The difference you make with your life depends entirely on the difference you allow God to make in your life. And for everyone, that's a personal matter. For everyone. You may have the joy and privilege of being in such a marvelous ministry as this. You may be around people who are being mightily used of God. You may be influenced greatly by those people. You have the privilege to have a pastor like the pastor you have here who loves the Lord, who's given himself to the Lord. What a great example. I admire him in every aspect for it. But that still doesn't make the difference in your life that God wants to make. It's all about you and the Lord and what you allow the Lord to do. I want you to hold your place here just a moment and turn with me to the gospel record given to us by Mark and the gospel according to Mark. And I want you to read this simple expression the Lord gave us in Mark chapter 3. The Bible says in verse 13, "And he goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto him whom he would. And they came unto him." And the Bible says in Mark chapter 3 and verse 14, "And he ordained 12 that they should be with him." Would you mark that in your Bible? That they should be with him. And then we have this conjunction, "and that he might send them forth to preach." There are many people who want to go forth and preach. The Lord Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." But it's impossible to do the preaching God wants us to do and the ministry God wants to give us unless we fulfill the first part of this. There's a call on every Christian not to go first, but to be with Him. He calls us to Himself, and we need to learn that. Many times you'll find you're running on empty, trying hard to get something done, using every asset you can get your hands on, putting all the emotion you can muster together into the task that lies before you. But nothing will substitute, nothing will substitute with the time you spend with Him. So He calls everyone first to be with Him. And as we're with Him, we have His blessing and His Spirit enabling us to preach the gospel. I want you to remember, always remember that. When you're going out to serve God, when you're called to a church to pastor, and I've been doing this for 55 years, that's a long time. It's not long enough, but it's a long time. I pastored my first church when I was 19 years old, and God called me to preach when I was 18. And I've been influenced by a lot of wonderful people. I could give you the names of those people and the people that I've heard personally and been with, some of the great people we think about in God's work, the Lord used to cross my path and influence me. But it wasn't up to them, it was up to me to give God my life so He could use my life for His glory. And when the Lord works in your heart that way, it's a purifying effect that we have. And may God help all of us to do that. Make a difference. This is a time of great urgency. It is a time of great urgency. It's a time when we need great clarity, no doubt about it. But we have to always keep the priority where it ought to be. I've been given opportunities to be in places like this. There are many men who would think the greatest thing they ever got to do was to speak in this chapel. And I do cherish the opportunity. It's no small thing for me. But it's not to compare with the time that I'm to spend with the Lord and let Him be the blessing and help to me that only He can be. May God get us to that point. Now, let's look back again at this verse I had you mark, because I want you to be a difference maker. I want the Lord to make the difference in your life. And this isn't a one-time decision that you make. You don't just get excited and say, I'm going to allow the Lord to do this. This is a lifetime decision. Through every trial and everything you go through, back to the Lord, back to the Lord, and again, back to the Lord. I can't be the husband I ought to be to my wife unless I give the Lord His rightful place in my life. He can enable me to do what I'm not able to do in my own strength. I can't be the pastor that God wants me to be, or the friend God wants me to be, or the help I ought to be anywhere God lets me travel and wants to use me, unless I give the Lord His rightful place in my life. And somehow or another, people in schools like the school I have and the school like you're in here get the idea we can get it somewhere in something and somebody and studying, but that's good to have complementing things. But nothing ever substitute for your own personal time with God. So I repeat to you, the difference you'll make in your life and a lifetime, your whole lifetime, the difference you will make for God in your whole lifetime will be in direct relationship with the difference you allow God to make in your life. And as you let Him make that difference in your life, you can make a difference in the lives of others. That's the only way it works. There's no other alternative to that. That's the only way it works. So Sometimes you and I can think of people and we think they're not genuine, they're not real, they're phony. But think what God has to put up with. When we're trying to prove to somebody what we can do and what we have to say, when He knows we haven't given Him the place in our lives that we should have given. And it is a deeply personal thing. You might fool everybody all the time, but you'll never fool God any time. Give Him the rightful place in your life. Now let's read the verse aloud, all of us together, this verse 22. Would you read it with me, please? And of some have compassion, making a difference. Again, please. And of some have compassion, making a difference. I believe just the way it's written here is the way we should receive it. And of some, I want to make a difference in everybody's life, but I don't have the opportunity to do that. But there's some people, some individuals, some families, some people whose path I cross, who God calls us to intersect with my life, and what they receive from the ministry God's given me ought to make a difference in their life. Now, how can you be that difference maker? How can you be that difference maker? And I want to show you just from the Word of God. Look, please, in the 20th verse. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. That's the first thing. You can't expect to be a difference maker and to be used of God to make a difference in the lives of others unless you're building up your most holy faith. Building yourselves on your most holy faith. How strong are you in the Lord? Where is your faith anchored? The object of our faith is the Lord Jesus Christ, none other. You may have your faith in persons or personalities or ministries. You may have your faith in your own ability, but how big is Christ in your life? You see, faith has to do with the object of our faith. Faith, the Bible says, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's a description of faith. But the definition of faith is in the next chapter of Hebrews, in chapter 12. It is simply looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. And it may be in a low moment, a high moment, a tempting moment to take on things yourself and leave God out. It may be when you're at your wit's end, but the faith that we need is coming from looking unto Jesus, just looking to Jesus. And you have to be in the practice of doing that all your life. Before I take this pulpit to preach, I must look to the Lord. Before I come to speak in the church, I must look to the Lord. And the Word of God builds us up. The Bible teaches that. And I want a strong faith. My mentor and helper in ministry was Dr. Lee Robertson. He had a favorite verse, have faith in God. Have faith in God. And the real faith that we need drives out worry, fretting, all those kinds of things. There is a fear that releases us from all other fears. And you are in a sheltered place in such a way at this day and time, but you're going to be faced with things that are tremendous things you think are obstacles that cannot be overcome. And you're going to be tempted to fear and not move forward courageously. But there is a fear that releases us from all other fears, and that is the fear of God, putting your faith in God. So if you're going to be a difference maker and make a difference in others' lives, if you're going to be called to some place and serve the Lord, remember first, you're not called to that place. You're called to a person. And you're called to Christ, to be with Christ. I don't mean to minimize that or to leave everything else out. I know where I am and I know what I'm doing and I know God put me there. But He put me there not just to face all of that first, but to take care of my own walk with God first. And that's the thing you must learn. This is a place not just to learn the Bible, 1,189 chapters in the Bible. This is not just a place to learn the 66 books of the Bible and learn Bible doctrine and learn other things. This is a place to learn to trust the Lord and to believe God. And when you have something that goes against the grain, you think it's going to be a difficult thing to deal with, just look to the Lord. Look to the Lord. In a moment, cry out to Jesus. God has made us in such a way because Christ ever lived to make intercession for us, and He lives in us. And any moment, any second, you can cry out to God and you can trust Him. So write that down. Number one, build up your faith. And then number two, he says, praying in the Holy Ghost. I don't want you to make something mysterious or strange about that. I don't know what you might believe, but that's the only praying there is. How do you think we get prayers through to God? How do you think we can breathe out words or thoughts and expect God to answer? They're carried by the Spirit of God, whoever lived to make intercession for us, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're praying, and you're going to have to be strong in prayer. And God will enable you to make a difference in the lives of other people when you learn that He's a prayer-hearing and prayer-answering God. How strong are you in prayer? You may say, I think He's a strong talker, or she's a strong talker. But what do you think about talking to God and believing the Lord and trusting the Lord? My life and ministry is a life of testimony of God answering prayer. And God brings you to the end of yourself so you can pray and trust Him. I want you to know, build up your life and be strong in prayer. Then there's a third thing. Let's just read it. The Bible says, praying in the Holy Ghost, and then verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep yourself. Keep yourself in the love of God. Keep yourself in the love of God. What does that mean? You don't have to do anything to make God love you. You don't have to make God love you more. You cannot do anything to make God love you less, but the truth of the matter is, you've got to keep yourself in the love of God. Keep yourself in the love of God. When I was a boy growing up, my mother raised four children by herself. I'm the oldest of four, and we had some rough times in life, like everybody. I thank God for all of that. But sometimes we were out playing, and it was a cold, windy day, and my mother would say, "Now, stay in the sun. Stay in the sunshine. Stay where it's warm. Keep yourself in the sun. Stay where it's warm." Well, you're going through life as a Christian. You're a believer. You know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. And you must keep yourself in the love of God. Now, what does that mean? It means you and I are incapable. We are incapable of loving people the way we ought to love people. We're incapable of expressing that love in the right way. We're incapable of it. This is a world of hurting people, and you're going to be involved in them. You're going to give your life away, pour your life out. And the only way you can love people is to have the love of God coming through you to those people. Amen. Keep yourself in the love of God. He can strengthen your love and your ability to care for other people. May God help you to do that. And then let's read on. And the Bible says, oh, God, help us. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Anytime God uses the expression looking for, He's explaining to us something about the second coming of the Lord. A lot of people think about the second coming of Jesus Christ to get them out of here. They're more concerned about leaving than they are seeing Him. But if you love Him like you ought to love Him, You're living every day with the thought, he could come today, he could come any moment. I'm looking to him. I know what schools like this work on because I have one. And we're trying to be pure and serve God and have the right kind of life. Do you know there's something that purifies us? If we love him and love his appearing, it purifies us. That's what the Word of God teaches. It straightens us up. It helps us to get rid of the wrong things and get the right things in our lives. Looking for the Lord. Are you looking for Jesus to come today? Are you believing that he's coming? We believe the Son of God came to earth and became a man without ceasing to be God. We believe that he lived a sinless life. He proved victorious over all temptation. We believe he went to the cross and died for us and died as us on the cross. We believe that. You ought to be able to describe your faith and describe the Lord Jesus and who he is and believe that he's co-equal, co-existent with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. We believe that he died on the cross. He cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was buried in a borrowed tomb. On the third day, he rose from the grave. And when he came out of the grave, he spent 40 days with his disciples, and then he ascended to heaven with the promise that he's coming again. He's coming again. We have his promise. Are we living like we're looking for his coming? Now, not before all of this, but because of all of this, we can come to the 22nd verse. And he says, and of some have compassion. We can't have the compassion unless we're doing the things, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. And because we're making sure those things are taken care of, then we can of some have compassion, making a difference. You might as well talk to a rock about being alive and doing something as to talk to somebody who says he's a Christian that's not taking care of these prerequisite things. Many times we throw out some challenge to people and expect people to attempt great things for God, but they can't. It's not in them. It's not in them. They never will have it. You can't mimic this. You can't be a robot and do this. God who lives in you must work in you. He works in you to will and to do his desire. And when he does, these things are prerequisite. Again, do you have them written down? Are you building up yourself on your most holy faith? Many people, you say, they've had every opportunity. They've been dragged back and forth to church. They've been under the kind of preaching and teaching. But individually, their life's never been changed. We're waiting for the moving of God. We're praying for the coming revival in our land. And sometimes we're trying to appeal to some hollow professing Christians who've never had the internal things done in their lives that enable them to do what God wants them to do. So you must be building up yourself on your most holy faith, feeding on the Word of God, communing with the Lord, praying. Everything is a prayer matter. Our real Christian life is our prayer life. The prayer life is the testimony of your Christian life. From God's perspective, he knows you're one of his children because you talk to him. Because everything is a matter of prayer. And then the Word of God says, not only praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourself in the love of God. You get aggravated. You talk about somebody you shouldn't be talking about. You say things about people you shouldn't say. But that's not it. It's not the sin of commission. It's the sin of omission that we're so guilty with. When Jesus told his great stories, we call the parables, when he told his great stories, the real enemies were the people who did not do what they could have done. It wasn't even the guys who were beating the fellow up and leading him on the side of the road. It was the people coming by who didn't do what they could have done. In the parable of the talents, it was not what they did with it, but the people who had the responsibility to do something and didn't do it. And we get to thinking we're great people because of what we have done. But God looks at us and he sees the other side of the coin. What have you not done that you could have done? Listen, you're going to be more responsible than anybody ever dreamed just because God brought you to this place. You're going to be more accountable. May God help us. Keep yourself in the love of God. And then live your life. Keep living your life every day, every moment, when you get up, when you go to bed at night, all during the day, looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Eternal life is where it begins. Eternal life is the life of the eternal one. When you have Christ in you, the hope of glory, you have eternal life. It's a present possession. It's not something you're going to receive someday. You've received it. You've got salvation. Now what do you do with it? What do you do with it? If I ask for a show of hands, all of you to raise your hand and say, I have salvation. I've asked God to forgive my sin and by faith trusted the Lord as my Savior. It's wonderful. Yes. But what are you doing with it? What are you doing with it? Now you possess it. Even the devil can't take it away from you. Everything the devil does can be undone, but what Jesus Christ does can never be undone. You have it. What are you doing with it? What are you doing with it? Well, God doesn't take much time beating around the bush. He spells it out. Here's what you do with it. And if some have compassion, making a difference. And when you take care of all these things leading up to it, then you'll be able to be the person who can have compassion, making a difference. I admire you. You made a great choice when you made the choice to come here to school. I admire you, those of you who teach here. You're giving your life to do the right thing. I admire you. But you can never be the difference maker God wants you to be. And of some have compassion, making a difference, unless you take care of these things that form the content of the life you ought to have to be the difference maker. Everybody knows Lee Robertson, the great Lee Robertson, was my spiritual father. I met Lee Robertson when I was 8 years old, riding a Sunday school bus to the Highland Park Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Dr. Robertson was the greatest man I ever knew. I don't know of another human being, me personally, that ever accomplished so much with one's life as he did. And Dr. Robertson and I were in a car together, driving from Chattanooga, his home, to Knoxville, Tennessee. And he said, Clarence, I want to tell you something. And I'm sincere and deadly serious when I say this to you. He was 96 years old at the time. And he said, I should have had more faith. It shocked me. I said, Dr. Robertson, Tennessee Temple Schools, all the influence of preachers around the world, the mission programs you started, the radio station you started, the paper you sent out, I began to list all that's accomplished. He said, but yet I know, he said, I know I should have had more faith in God. I should have had more faith in God. I've never gotten away from that. Never forgot that. And I'm wondering, how can I be the greatest difference maker? And if some have compassion, it's not because of some big meeting or the influence of some great person. It is if I give the time, the effort, and the energy to do these things, if I am built up in my faith, if I am praying in the Holy Ghost, if I'm keeping myself, and I get aggravated at people, if I'm keeping myself in the love of God, and if I'm looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, then of some I can have compassion, making a difference. May God help you to be that kind of person. Thank you.